For all my women out there, I just want you to know that you are a boss. Women have to be at the table for technology and innovation. And if not, we'll simply create our own. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of the tech space just because there aren't many women in the room. That's exactly why we need you to be there. Girl, don't forget to rep your set in these tech spaces, aka rep your culture. You are the face of technology and the face of the future. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Women in Tech with Ariana Global Podcast. I have to make sure I say global now because we're in 8 countries, which is so awesome because we only launched like less than a year ago. And again, it's your favorite host, me, Ariana Waller. For those of you, it's your first time tuning in. Thank you so much for clicking and tuning in to this podcast. I'm so appreciative of you. This podcast is all about inspiring women and curating conversations about dope technology and upcoming events within tech. And you know, one thing that makes us super special is that outside of just inspiring women and talking about news and technology, we want to make sure that you guys have access to tangible resources. So whether that's an upcoming event, a pitch competition, funding for your startup or idea or a conference you should attend, we're going to be talking about that here on the show every other week. So we have special guests who are from all over the world. I'm talking about news and what's going on, and then again, those tangible resources. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Whatever app or website that you use currently right now, make sure you subscribe and you share and like and all that good stuff. The more ratings, the better, guys. We could use them, and your support again is appreciated. We cannot do this show without you. If you guys want to connect with me, I also have my direct link to my contact information immediately below. You can reach out to me if you want to be on the show, or maybe you have someone who wants to be on the show. Totally shoot me an email at ariana@wildwaytech.com or click the link below to have access to that information. But today, guys, we have a super extra special guest with us who is on the show, and her name is Veronica Young. Veronica has dedicated her career to cultivating and activating civic engagement in government and our electoral systems. Currently, Veronica serves as Brigade Program Manager for Western Region for the Code for America Brigade Network. The Brigade Network spans nearly 80 chapters of over 20,000 volunteers across the country, and is made up of engineers, developers, designers, community organizers, and engaged community members. Brigade members create open source technology that benefits their communities by working with local government and partnering with local organizations to ensure residents can have access to government services easily and effectively. Prior to joining Code for America, Veronica worked on national, state, and local campaigns and elections, specializing in increasing voter turnout. Veronica served on Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, President Obama's 2012 reelect campaign, and as a consultant in Washington, D.C. Veronica Young, thank you so much for being on the show. We are so grateful to have you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. So now, Veronica, where are you located right now?
Yes, I'm in the Bay Area in California. So I live in Oakland and our offices are in San Francisco. So that's where I am most of the time.
Now, that is awesome. So Veronica's in Oakland. And remember, guys, in episode 11, I talked about how Afrotech is in Oakland this year. So make sure you guys go to that conference. But that's super dope. So Veronica, you are in Oakland, California. Now, where are you originally from?
I am actually from the Bay Area. So it seems less and less now that you meet people in the Bay Area that are actually from here. But I was born and raised in the Bay Area, and I have lived a couple different places, but I'm really excited to be home and be around family and where I'm from.
I love California in general. I've never been to Oakland, so I've never been to the Bay Area, but I've gone to Silicon Valley. So I've been to like Redwood City and San Jose quite a bit. But I've never been to Oakland or anything like that, but I will be there soon.
Yes, when you come for Afrotech, you'll enjoy it. There's so much to do and great cultural scene, and it's just a great place to be.
I love it. That's awesome. Now let's jump into what the listeners are hungry for. So tell us about Code for America. Like, what is Code for America and your role as the Brigade Program Manager for the Western Region?
Yeah, so Code for America is a technology nonprofit, and our goal is to make sure that people have access to government services and improving that experience through technology. In my role, I get to work with the Brigade Network, which is our network of now over 80 volunteer chapters across the country, and local chapters work with their local governments and local nonprofits in order to serve community members and make services accessible to them. So as the program manager for the Western region, I'm the point of contact for Brigades west of the Mississippi, and I get to work with our team at Code for America on initiatives that serve the entire network.
Now, that is super awesome. So, like, when you're talking about access to government resources or in services, you know, what are some examples of those services to kind of give our listeners a good grasp of, like, projects and stuff that these Brigade programs are working on across the nation?
Absolutely. So the three pillars that Code for America focuses on are food security, the criminal justice system, as well as workforce development. And so you see a lot of the projects that Brigades work on in line with those three pillars. Some of the projects that I see a lot are projects that have to do with food security, so making sure that people and communities have access to food. A couple of examples of projects in that space are Food Oasis out of Hack for LA, and that's a way for community members to find local food, healthy foods sources, especially in areas that experience the issues of being in a food desert. Another project in the same line is called Summer Meals out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Brigade chapter there is Code for Tulsa. And it's a way for families to access food, particularly in the summer where kids aren't able to access food through school. So there are projects like that in the food security space. As I said, the criminal justice space and workforce development space are popular areas, as well as a lot of projects in transportation and housing security, which is a issue that a lot of communities across the country are dealing with, as housing prices go up and it's harder to find access to affordable housing.
Now, that is amazing. So this organization, Code for America, has all these chapters, right, where all these awesome volunteers and developers and engineers and designers and just creatives or people who just really care about their community get together to solve some of these problems. Now, is it that do these brigades come up with ideas themselves? Is it Code for America saying, hey, here's a list of things, choose from them? How does that typically work on a more, I guess, local level of these brigades getting together?
Sure, that's a great question. So Brigades are really individualized and led by the local community. So there are no kind of Code for America led initiatives that we ask for Brigades to work on. It's totally curated and developed by the local leadership and local community members. But one of our goals on the network team, which is the team that I sit on at Code for America, is to be able to provide resources and access for cross-brigade collaboration, as well as resources to help enable brigades to do the work that they do. And so this is a fantastic way for all kind of 84 chapters across the country to communicate and work on projects and hopefully be able to share some of the knowledge that they learn in their communities with other brigade members and brigade chapters.
You know, I love that, you know, there you guys are creating this space where the brigades can connect with each other, right? Because maybe there's somebody in California, right, who's trying to solve a problem, but someone in Texas has already solved it and it can be similar to them. So I like that you guys are about, you know, okay, focus on the local level, solving those problems in different areas, but hey, maybe there's some things that we can truly learn from each other, you know, to help create our communities better, right? Like regardless of, you know, what region of the country you're in, there are going to be similar problems and similar solutions that we can all solve. So I think that's, you know, super awesome. Now, You talked about, you know, criminal justice and how that's one of the pillars for Code for America. I'm just curious as to, like, you know, is there any, like, history on why they focus on criminal justice specifically? I'm asking because I myself am really passionate about this. So here in Grand Rapids, I'm a part of the Black and Brown Cannabis Guild, and so we actually had one of our first expungement resource fairs here in Grand Rapids where over 400 people had access to, like, free lawyers and stuff. And I actually got into this social justice, criminal justice work because I'm the co-founder of a cannabis tech company. And so, but one thing I've told myself as a Black woman, right, who will one day make, like, tons of money off of this company, I want to make sure that I am helping a community, right, my community, the Black community, the Brown community, with having access to opportunity from an industry that, you know, that unfortunately negatively impacted our community so much. And so I told myself that if I did this cannabis tech company, that I need to be doing social justice work. Like, I need to be helping people get out of jail for something that I'm literally going to be making millions of dollars off of. So again, so the question is kind of, do you know, like, why is social justice one of the focuses for Code for America? Because that's pretty rare in tech, right? Like, people aren't just walking around like, yeah, let's do an organization and then let's help, you know, people are in jail and, you know, criminal justice. I think that's pretty unique about you guys.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for that background and just really excited about the initiatives that folks are taking all across the country to give back to their communities, in particular in the criminal justice space. I can't speak to the exact nature of the thought process behind criminal justice as a topic area, but I can say that one of the goals of Code for America is to make sure that we are focusing our efforts where there seems to be the most need for a change. And so when we are looking to approach work, one of the things that we consider is not just what is kind of popular in terms of what's going on right now, but what are the areas that we really feel that we can make a positive impact in? And we want to make sure that as we are making government services more accessible to people, that we're really focusing on vulnerable populations and underserved communities, because that's where we feel like we can make a significant impact. And so, of course, with the history of the criminal justice system affecting our ancestors and people that have been targeted by the criminal justice system, we look to be able to find solutions. And of course, we can't reverse the effects of what's happened over our generations, but we can hope to make a positive impact for the future.
Yeah, that, and I think that's awesome. Because, you know, in order to, you know, like you said, we can't change the past, but we can change the future, right? And so it's important that, you know, we are at these tables so we can voice our concerns and talk about, hey, like, this is actually what's going down in Alabama, Georgia, California, wherever we are. And we need resources. And I'm so glad that Code for America, you know, is focused. That's like one of their focuses. I mean, that's in technology, for me, that is just super rare, right? Where there's this industry where it's not as diverse, right? So if you have an industry that's, you know, predominantly, you know, let's just be straightforward, you know, white male, right? The focus might be different, right? From the problems that are going on with, you know, a Hispanic or Latina, you know, in Texas, right? Who's in technology. And so I think that's awesome that you guys are focused on, you know, an issue that affects everyone, right? Not even just people of color, but, you know, significantly more people of color. But I just think that's super awesome. Now, you guys partnered with National Expungement Week this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that and Code for America's role?
Yes, it was absolutely so exciting. So we have an annual day called the National Day of Civic Hacking, and this is a day where brigades across the country will put on events, a lot of times focused on sourcing various projects, coming up with project ideas, and then a lot of times the ideas from the projects that were sourced at National Day of Civic Hacking will be projects that the brigade works on throughout the year. And so there was really a need within the network that was voiced to us to have National Day of Civic Hacking focus around something that was more of a singular topic so that we could really see the power of the Brigade Network come together on one day. And so we were really excited to join into a collaborative process with the network to co-create what it is that we're going to work on. And as we were doing the co-collaboration process, we realized that National Day of Civic Hacking actually fell on the first day of National Expungement Week. And National Expungement Week, of course, focuses on expungement for folks that are eligible across the country. And so we thought this was a perfect opportunity for us to join forces with National Expungement Week partners throughout the country to focus on actions that would be helpful for the expungement process in general, and then also looking towards how it can be extremely difficult in most places across the country for folks that are eligible to get their records cleared. And so looking to see what that process looks like so that we can advocate for the automatic record clearance process. So on September 21st, 46 brigades and events across the country partnered for locations where it was applicable with National Expungement Week events to focus in certain actions like journey mapping and creating a usability scorecard and Know Your Rights site for folks that are across the country and are justice impacted. And so it was a wonderful day of action. Over 1,000 volunteers showed up to be part of this process across the country. And it was a great way where we could see that we could have an impact and partner with an amazing coalition of organizations for National Expungement Week.
Now, every time you add more information, I'm like,
I wish you could see my face right now because I'm like super geeked. Because it's combining two of my favorite things, which is technology and social justice, and specifically, you know, especially around expungement. I'm really passionate about that. And I do have to give a super quick shout out to Margot Brunner because Margot introduced me to Veronica. So shout out to you, Veronica, for introducing me. Margot, for introducing me to Veronica. Margot is the founder, one of the founders of National Expungement Week. That's kind of how Veronica and I got connected because of some work that I was doing in Lansing with Margot. So shout out to her. But, you know, that is awesome. And I love what you talked about. You know, there's three things that these, you know, National Day of Civic Hacking brigades focused on. So it was the journey mapping, usability scorecard, and Know Your Rights site, right? And so with the journey mapping, I'm curious to know, because when I hear journey mapping, of course, for those of you who are listening don't understand what that means. It's essentially where you are literally physically drawing or writing out the journey of a user when they're using your technology or product or service. And so I think that's just super important, right? Because I think it's easy for us to get an idea and we're like, okay, let's just build the technology and it's going to solve the problem. But when you actually take your time with journey mapping, it helps you to really understand, okay, how am I making sure and crossing off these lines and things that allows the user, the person, right? So these people who are looking for expungement, how are they going to interact with this system that we're going to build? And so for journey mapping, Veronica, I'm curious, did you guys work with any people who, you know, are looking for expungement to kind of get some of that firsthand experience? Or how did that work?
Absolutely. So I love journey mapping. We are very dedicated to user research. Research and design at Code for America. We believe that if you have something that you're looking to fix, then you can't create a solution without actually walking through the experience of somebody that is experiencing something in order to create a solution. So one of the wonderful parts about our partnership with National Expungement Week was that local brigade leaders and organizers worked with National Expungement Week partners in many cases to actually be present at the expungement clinics that National Expungement Week organizers were planning and actually walking through the expungement process with folks at the clinic that had come to seek help for their record expungement or record clearance or asking questions. So it was a great opportunity to have that partnership. It was wonderful and very generous of people that were participating in the clinic to share their experiences with us. And we hope that being able to journey map the process in many locations will be part of creating the solution to automatic record clearance.
You know, I think that, again, that is so amazing that you guys are focusing on that user experience and making sure that, you know, the tech, again, like the tech that it's being built, that it's going to actually serve for the customer. And even more so amazing that people who, you know, have experience with this system are able to come in and they were able to help the volunteers at National Civic Day having. So I just think that's awesome. Now, you mentioned the Know Your Rights site. So what is the purpose of that site? And kind of give our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one thing that our criminal justice team has noticed in the vast amount of work that they do working with the process of record clearance is that a lot of information is a lot of times very localized, and there's not necessarily a central place that one can go to find information about the record clearance process. It also makes it difficult to advocate for policy when there isn't necessarily a good understanding of what the layout is on a national level versus what the different rules are in certain locations. Your listeners may or may not be familiar with the fact that record clearance is done on a very localized level and laws vary from state to state. And so, unfortunately, this can make it very difficult terrain to go through when you're going through the record clearance process because you may not necessarily, your situation might be different in one state versus another state. And so finding that applicable information can be difficult. So for the Know Your Rights site, we wanted to essentially work on National Day of Civic Hacking to create a prototype of what a national website could look like so that folks can find information about the record clearance process from state to state in one location versus having to visit, you know, 50 different websites for 50 different states to find out information about the record clearance process. On top of that, though, the rules might vary state by state. A lot of the actual work for expungement is done on a county level. And so this can get really arduous when you're looking at how you approach record clearance from a state by state or county by county standpoint.
You know, that is, you know, that's a big challenge, right? So you talked about like, okay, yeah, we're developing this system. There are these different rights and laws. And even I remember when I was at the expungement fair that we did with the Black and Brown Cannabis Guild, like it was, you know, there's so many different nuances, right? Like, you know, in the state of California, maybe you can get something a little bit away more than you can in Michigan or Georgia. And so I think that, you know, that's super good that you guys are focused on the central place where anyone can come and find out that information. But I'm sure it's definitely a challenge for your volunteers to like curate all that data. And you know, we're talking about county levels, and once you get down to county government, the tech is like basically non-existent there. So you're probably doing everything from scratch for your volunteers and stuff. But I think that's awesome to Know Your Rights site. I know we definitely need that here in Grand Rapids. There isn't, I know you did mention there's a brigade network in Lansing. Well, maybe try to get a brigade out here in GR, but I know that that is definitely something that people in this local community could use.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so, but guys, we're going to take a super quick break, and we'll be back with Veronica Young from Code for America. This quick commercial break, guys, is sponsored by Huawei Technologies. Huawei Technologies is a mobile application and website development firm located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you are a business and you're looking for a website development mobile application, you have an awesome idea, go to huaweitech.com and make sure you go click the link to become a new client. If you're looking for an expert in the technology field to help you build your idea, or maybe you just need a consultation, a one-on-one to talk to an expert, go to huaweitech.com and click the button, become a client. Thank you, Huawei Technologies. Technologies for sponsoring this episode. And we're back from break with Veronica Young. Thank you so much for being on the show, Veronica.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So, you know, we talked about Code for America and all the awesome stuff that you guys are doing, talking about, you know, social justice and what you guys did for National Expungement Week, some of this access to services that you guys are building for local governments. And so now an important question for our listeners is, how can people get involved with Code for America? Where can people learn more and tune in and subscribe and all that good jazz?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So obviously I will plug joining your local brigade or at least going to a meeting. So there are 84 brigades across the country. If you go to brigade.codeforamerica.org, you can see if there is a chapter near you. And if there isn't, always feel free to reach out to us and we can talk to you about how to start a chapter in your area. Apart from actually joining a brigade, we are very active on social media. So you can follow us on Twitter. You can join our newsletter. So if you go to codeforamerica.org, you can join the Code for America newsletter, learn what we are up to at the current moment and get updates about the work that we are doing. And then, of course, you can always donate to Code for America as well. We are a nonprofit, and so we always appreciate more funding to do the work that we do. And you can also donate to your local brigade by going to codeforamerica.org as well.
Awesome. And guys, we're also going to, you know, the details that, all of the details that Veronica just talked about are, there's a link to that information immediately below in the episode details. Also, I know some of you have reached out and said, I don't have any details section. I guess it depends on what app you're using. So like there's some apps where apparently they don't have like details. So I think it's like Spotify, for example, they don't have like a episode details section. So if not, you can go to walwaytech.com/podcast and just click the button for resources and you will see the links to the details about this episode with Veronica and all her awesome information for you to contact her if you'd like. And then, of course, for Code for America. So you can click the link below. And if you can't click the link below, just go to walwaytech.com/podcast. Now, Veronica, you are awesome. Like you're working with, you know, Code for America, doing this work, helping to change so many communities across the nation as a program manager for the Brigade Network. Now, you also, before we talked about that, you've worked on national, state, and local campaigns and elections, specializing in increasing voter turnout. So what was your experience like that, working for the Hillary Clinton campaign and President Obama's, well, former President Obama's, a reelect campaign?
Well, it's just absolutely an amazing experience to be part of any campaign. And I encourage your listeners that if you are interested at all in civic engagement, as well as looking at the work that your local Code for America chapters are doing, also getting involved with campaigns, local, state, and national campaigns. My particular work, I started out in the area of campaigns called Field. And so that's actually connecting with voters on a one-to-one basis and increasing voter turnout. And so it's just an incredible experience to be able to go door to door talking to people about their experiences and the issues that matter to them, and then aligning that with a particular candidate or a particular issue and working on behalf of that candidate or issue. So I started out as a field organizer on President Obama's reelection campaign in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was an amazing experience. And I got to connect with people, hundreds and thousands of people on a one-to-one basis, talking about things that affected them and their families and the issues that they cared about. And then I was able to work in Washington, D.C. as a consultant, particularly in voter engagement and turnout and voter contact, which is the phone calls you receive or the text messages you receive. And I know that people get a lot of text messages and phone calls and literature in the mail. But I think it's really important for folks to pay attention to the issues that they care about and see where a candidate falls on those issues, and then advocate by your vote and also encouraging other people in your community to vote about the issues that you care about.
That is so awesome. And remember, guys, on the show, we're talking about all types of, you know, ways for you to get involved and to help positively change and impact your community outside of just technology, right? So this is something that's very important. There's an upcoming election in 2020. It's important that we all vote and that, you know, we're all, you know, using the power that we have. Now, that is amazing. Now, Veronica, I'm curious, is there any, like, experience, and this is on a whim, question, but like any like one particular experience that you, when you were out there talking to voters, you know, you were, you know, trying to get you know, Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama's reelected at the time, you know, was there any particular moment where you were working and talking to someone and it was, you just, it just hit you, you were like, this was all worth it, like some type of experience, maybe it was a conversation you had or something someone told you maybe?
Absolutely. I think that the work that I was able to do every day, especially when you're connecting with people individually, makes you feel as though the work is worth it. I will say that in my experiences, what hit home to me the most was how healthcare affects people's everyday lives. So many times I would talk to people and one of the biggest issues in their life was affording healthcare either for themselves or a family member. And it was just an extremely eye-opening experience and something that made me feel as if we had to have healthcare that was accessible to everybody and how big of a relief on so many people's lives it would be if our healthcare system worked better. So I was really excited to be able to advocate for changes in the healthcare system.
Now that, so that, I mean, you're right. It affects every single person in this country on a daily basis. And it's funny, I was just having a conversation with my husband actually about the healthcare system because he had to get his cyst removed in like his right hand or something like that. And so it's just like this little bump of this ball of mass. It was pretty ill. But anywho, and he got the surgery. CC, my producer, she's laughing at me. He got this removed and we got the bill in the mail for, you know, for the surgery. And, you know, luckily, you know, we, you know, have good jobs and, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and he works full time as an engineer for GE Aviation. So we're able to afford some of these things. But for other people, I'm like, what would someone else have done if they had a cyst in their right arm and they can't even do a push-up and work out in the gym because it hurts that bad, right? Like what, you know, how can we make sure that this is accessible for not just people who are in the middle class or the upper class, but people who aren't, right? And even in the middle class, there are people in the middle class who can't afford these things. So that's awesome that you had that experience. And I'm sure that was probably a life-changing like experience for you. So that's super great, Veronica.
Absolutely.
Now, Veronica, we are coming to an end of this show. Unfortunately, we've enjoyed you so much, but we have two more questions. One of them is, you know, what are some passion projects that, you know, you're working on that you're super excited about within this year or next or the next couple of days or weeks?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I'm really excited about the work that we're doing at Code for America. Outside of my work at Code for America, I will be involved volunteering in the upcoming election cycle. And I also am the mother of a five-year-old. So that takes up a lot of my spare time and in activities.
That is awesome. Shout out to all the moms that are listening. You guys work hard. And shout out to my mom, Monica Holloway. Like, she is thebomb.com. Shout out to all the moms. Veronica, that is awesome. What's your daughter's name?
Her name is Honor, and she started kindergarten this year. So lots of new activities.
That is so awesome. That is a powerful name. Like, shout out to you, Honor, your mom. I'm so sure you're proud of your mom. She's awesome. And I hope you have a good time at kindergarten. I'm talking to her like she's about to be listening to this podcast, but it's okay. She'll grow up and she'll be able to come back. Okay, now, Veronica, what's one tangible resource that you can share with our listeners? You know, one thing about this podcast outside of talking about technology and what's going on in the community is that we want them to have tangible resources that can help them or expose them to, you know, just new opportunities.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I always get really energized by the opportunity to attend conferences and meet other like-minded individuals that are doing great work. So I was so excited that you mentioned AfroTech at the beginning of this podcast. That's coming up this month, and I'm excited to be able to participate. I also will say that I was able to attend a conference earlier this year. It's called the NetRoots Conference. It's outside of technology. It's in the political space, but I think that as kind of one of the themes of the work that we do in this podcast, particularly, is to be able to influence various aspects of areas that we're interested in through technology. So the NetRoots Conference was a great ability to kind of see what's going on in the political space. And then I think it can also be a great curator of ideas of where we can plug in and use our skills to further the areas that we want to see.
That is awesome. Veronica, thank you for sharing that resource. You guys, I'm going to plug all of that. Again, all of these links and stuff will be in the podcast details below for you guys to have access to these opportunities, these organizations that Veronica is talking about. We want to make sure that you're involved. But definitely politically, I think that it's all of our right. It's all of our rights to vote, right? And it's important that, we exercise that right. So Veronica, thank you for sharing that with us today. Now, Veronica, this is the end of the podcast, but you have been an absolute joy. It's been awesome emailing you back and forth to get you on this show. And I'm just so excited that you were able to come on with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I think you're an inspiration. Really excited about your podcast and the effect that you're able to have in people's lives. So thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
Thank you. That is Veronica. You guys, Veronica Young. She's the Brigade Program Manager, Western Region for Code for America. And again, guys, it's your favorite host, Ariana Waller. I am signing out. But don't forget, subscribe, like, share this podcast with all of your friends. Leave a review. Make sure you rate me 5 stars. And thank you so much for tuning into this podcast.